Okay, welcome back to the BRS Men's Afternoon Kollel. Thank you again to the Frohlich Financial Group and a special thank you to Rabbi Shabtai for arranging and organizing everything. We are going to pick up where we last left off on the topic of Kriyas HaTorah, its origin, its source, its obligation, upon whom, what happens if you miss a week, what happens if a mistake is made. Let's quickly review what we saw last week and then we will continue and pick up from there. We saw last week that Ezra was misaken Kriyas HaTorah. They couldn't go 3 days without water. The question was, why were Monday and Thursday chosen? In order to avoid going 3 days, you could have instituted either Tuesday or Wednesday instead. The Ben Yehoyada asked that question, and the Ben Yehoyada is bothered by that. On the Gemara, he says, it would have been more logical to choose Tuesday or Wednesday, because then, and that way you'd avoid interruptions. You do Sunday, Monday, Thursday, Friday. Equal length, two consecutive days each, and it would equal the period of the weekday reading. So the Ben Yehoyada says, not only would it have been an option, it would have been a much more sensible option. So Tosfos explains Monday and Thursday are particularly auspicious days, and we know that. We know Tainus Bahab, we fast on those days, and a longer Tachanan on those days, and Beis Din would meet on those days, Beis Din Shamata and Shamala, and so on and so forth. So was Ezra the one who was misaken it? We see that really it happened earlier, that Moshe Rabbeinu was misaken it when we came out of Egypt. And then it turns out that both, it goes all the way back to Moshe, but Ezra expanded the amount that we have to read in order to be Yotze Kriyas HaTorah. The Maharal weighed in the significance of Monday and Thursday and why those days are chosen. The Shaar Ephraim tells us that not only are the words of the Torah, do they date back to Hashem giving them to us at Har Sinai, but even the trup, even the Negina, even the cantillations also go back to Sinai. Rav Shtormbach had a tshuva. If a person is listening to Kriyas HaTorah and they miss a word or two, they miss a sentence, they sneeze, they're distracted, something happens. So do they need to stay for the next minyan? Do they need to hear Kriyas HaTorah all over again? And Rav Shtormbach developed the idea, not his, it's a famous big machlokas and discussion. Is Kriyas HaTorah achovas hayachad or achovas hatzibur? Is it an obligation on the individual or an obligation on the community? Now, it's partly semantical because the community is made up of individuals. So if every individual in the community says it's on the community, not me as the individual, then there is no community. There's nobody here in Kriyas HaTorah. On the other hand, if there is a community who are proclaiming and hearing Kriyas HaTorah and you, the individual, did not hear it all or maybe not even heard any, then you don't necessarily have an obligation on you because the community fulfilled the communal obligation of Kriyas HaTorah, and therefore he concludes, Lefiza Ikara Takana Rak Letzibur Likro, it is a obligation on the community, V'yachid Chavasu L'shtatev Letzibur V'yotze Chiyuvo, the individual has the obligation to contribute to forming a Tzibur. But if the Tzibur is formed without him, or he missed part of the Kriyas HaTorah, then he does not need to make it up. To willfully withdraw or to willfully neglect to participate in the Tzibur and Kriyas HaTzibur, Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, then you're not doing your part for the Tzibur. But if it's honest, if there's nothing you can do, you missed a pasuk, you missed a more than that, then you are Yotze with the rest of the community. We then saw the fascinating psak.
Who was that one that said that?
That's Rav Shtormbach. Rav Shtormbach. Rav Moshe Shtormbach, Chubas Van Agos, holds it's a chovas hatzibur, an obligation on the community, and the individual has an obligation only so much as they have to comprise and contribute to the community, but the obligation is on the community with the enormous nafkamina. If the individual missed out, must they make it up? We then saw the question of what happens when somebody who in Chutz La'aretz on a 3-day yontiv then goes to Israel right after, and the next week Eretz Israel is up to a parsha that Chutz La'aretz has not yet read. So if you spend this year Simchas Torah in Chutz La'aretz, where you had yontif on Shabbos and Sunday, the example didn't apply this year, but let's say it was a 3-day yontif, or it was Friday Shabbos. So in Chutz La'aretz, you will read the Kriyas HaTorah for yontif. In Eretz Israel, they're up to Bereishis, which means if you go to Israel the next week, in Israel you're going to hear Noach, while you never ever heard Bereishis. What is the obligation? So there is an obligation on the person to hear it, but Rav Neuber clarified that you can be Yotze with Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum. You don't have to hear Kriyas HaTorah proper, because the Tzibur in America heard their Kriyas HaTorah. When you came to Israel, they heard their Kriyas HaTorah of that Tzibur, but you as the individual have a responsibility to make up your being Mar B'Sedra. You have to learn each and every Parsha, Shnayim Mikra, on the Parsha that you missed. Okay, we then moved over. Before we move over, I want to bring us up to, I have a couple tshuvas here that we'll read fairly quickly on this question that we glossed over last time, but let's fill in a little bit more. What happens now where we missed many months of Kriyas HaTorah because of Magefa. There was a pandemic, a plague. Shuls were shut down around the world. There were probably weeks where Kriyas HaTorah didn't take place, maybe on any shul on the planet Earth. Maybe for the first time in all of history, something had spread so globally and so contagiously and so simultaneously that there were periods where the entire Jewish establishment was shut down. So what is the halacha when we reopen? Do we have to read all the parshas that we missed? If we said it's a choves hatzibur, so maybe not every individual in the tzibur has to. Even on the weeks where shul was shut down, we had an obligation, Rosh Hashanah Mikra Echad Targum, to be mar besedra, to read the Torah twice, and preferably unklus once. Today you could be yotzei with Rashi. But is there an obligation, when the tzibur reconstitutes itself, to make up and to host a reading of all those parshios that we missed? So I'll share with you just two tshuvas, although there are many more that were written now and that date back. I'm not going to give you the whole background. This is Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter Shlita. Rav Shechter wrote the following tshuva. Kosa b'sefer shar Ephraim. In batal kriyas ha-seder v'shabas achas machmas eze onas, azay l'shabas haba korin. So shar Ephraim quotes that if you miss a kriyas ha-torah, the whole tzibur, for whatever reason, we've also had where the shul was shut down because of a hurricane threat or a hurricane. So let's say it's a localized problem where the shul in your community did not host a Kriyas HaTorah. So Shai Ephraim paskins that when the next week, please God, you're back together, you have to make up the parsha you missed. Even if you missed several weeks consecutively, you never read more than two parshios. When you come back together again, you only make up the parsha immediately before. I mentioned last week that there's a machlokas, whether Nitzavim Vayelech is really one parsha or two, and it's brought down that one of the nafkaminas is, if Nitzavim Vayelech is a week where there was no Kriyas HaTorah, the next week, do you only read Vayelech? Because you're not allowed to read more than two parshios? It's considered a tircha de tzibur, or would you read Nitzavim Vayelech because they really are only one parsha, a fascinating machlokas, fascinating particularly for Balei Kriya and Gabayim. Umisha rotze linog likros mashabitlo shabbos shel mechubarim ubitlo kama shabbosos, ein maznich noso. Says the Shai Ephraim, as far as what you're responsible, obligated, what a community should provide, is making up the previous week that was missed. They don't have to go beyond the previous week, even if many more weekends were missed. However, if somebody would like to volunteer, then fine. And if it's not that they were ba'onis, but they didn't have a minion, they don't even have to make it up. It's a machlokas. The Gro was strict to make up the previous parsha. I'm a sefer peridor. Chazanish gam kein echmer b'zeh. Chazanish too. In a circumstance where a parsha was missed for whatever extenuating circumstance, the next week the tzibur would read two parshios. Umistama min anachon shav yeshiva shachmiru kizeh kin hanagas agrav chazanish lashen kol parshios b'shabbos harishon l'achar tom hamagefa. Not only the previous week, the chazanish and the grower were machmer to make up all the missing weeks. And Rav Shechter suggests, interestingly but also very insightfully, that not shuls but yeshivas. Yeshivas can bear that burden for us. The assumption is that balabatim, and I don't mean that in a pejorative sense, balabatim may not have the patience, especially if there's no kiddush afterwards, to make up all the Kriyas HaTorah that was missed. But in a yeshiva, where maybe they're a little bit more vigilant, they'll make them all up. That is keeping with the opinion of the Gro and the Chazon Ish, not just the previous week, but all those that were missed. Achim yekar adin yishmokam l'haka k'magan avram, k'kulas ha-shar Ephraim, v'shar bati kinesis, bevadi yesh lahem ama shiiz mochu. However, if Shechter says, in all the other shuls, there certainly is upon whom to rely, not to make up, or only to make up one week that was missed. Hey Yosha, Shabbos l'kul yam amut l'hosif, kolo bedin zeh sh'lorak sh'mut l'chalik is ha-sidr l'yos mizayin al-yos, l'gam kein mut l'kri yos p'sukim v'yos ha-parshios, afil l'kri misefer Torah sheni. You can read it from a second Torah. I mean, think about how long we were shut down. If you had to roll the Torah to get back to where you were when we last left off, we went from, I think it was the first week of March, until when did we come back together again? In June? We went a very long time. We didn't hear Chazak for Shmos Vayikra, Bamidbar. I don't remember which ones we didn't hear. So you might have to roll a Torah. You're allowed to bring out a second Torah, not have to roll another Torah. So if Shechter suggests that another way you could make it up is not to try to make up all the parshios that were missed in one Shabbos, that would be a very long Kriyas HaTorah, but rather each Shabbos to read the parsha of that week and read one of the previous ones, so that by the next Simchas Torah you will have heard all, or I should say the community will have read all the parshios of the Torah, all 54 parshios. However, you don't have to do it all on one parsha, which could be a great tircha. So that is a suggestion that he offers as a way of rotating them in incrementally, so that it's not overbearing in any one case. For the sake of time, I'll just read the rest in English. The English Rav Schechter's tshuvos have been translated, but I know, and I'm part of the team that's translating them, or I haven't personally translated, but I'm part of the team looking at the translations, and it's by design that not everything is translated from every tshuva. The lumdus is all there in the Hebrew, and the bottom line is given in the English. Due to the coronavirus, we have missed many weeks of Torah reading at shul. There's no requirement to make up the missed parshios under these circumstances, but if a shul decides they would like to make up the missed Torah readings from the previous weeks, there is value in doing so, and there are two possible approaches. If the congregation wishes, they may read all of the missed parshios in the Shabbos they return to shul. After finishing the seven aliyos of that week's laning, a second Torah should be used to read all the missed laning in one session. If this option is too burdensome for the one Shabbos, the congregation can divide the missed parshios into multiple weeks. Each week after the return to shul, two Torahs taken out. First will be used for the seven aliyahs of that week's parsha, and the second will be used for the entirety of a missed parsha in one single aliyah. When the makeup parsha has been completed, the Torah should be read from the makeup parsha, because the custom is to read the Torah based on the last Torah that was read from. That's a big chiddush. In other words, since essentially the maftir is not the maftir of the parshas HaShavua, but the maftir is going to be defined by whatever parsha you're up to in the makeup cycle, which could be several months ago, right? So therefore, the Haftorah would come from that. And the above, additionally, if a bar mitzvah boy was unfortunately unable, so another chiddush, but it's also a reflection of the sensitivity of Rav Schechter. If a bar mitzvah boy was unfortunately unable to read the parsha he prepared in advance, the situation can be rectified by allowing him to read the missed parsha and Haftorah on a later Shabbos. When the shul reopens, the congregation should take out two Sifrei Torah, use the first Torah for the regular weekly parsha, second Sefer Torah for the missed parsha prepared by the mitzvah boy. Since the general practice, the Haftorah follows that which was read in the last Sefer, he'll now be able to read the Haftorah that he prepared originally. This procedure is not obligatory and may only be performed with prior permission of the tzibur. That means to say that if you had a boy whose bar mitzvah was supposed to take place in March or April, in which we know the world was shut down, not a backyard bar mitzvah, not a minimum bar mitzvah, no bar mitzvah, a gurnish bar mitzvah, the bar mitzvah boy who spent a year preparing his sedra didn't get to read it at all, maybe on Zoom for Babi and Zaydi, didn't get an aliyah, and it wasn't a real kriyas haTorah. Says Rav Schechter, now in, what are we in, October, that bar mitzvah boy could read his parsha from March, April, or May, as the maftir of the kriyas haTorah we're doing now, and thereby the bar mitzvah boy would also get to read the haftorah of his parsha. Of course, you need the reshus of the whole tzibur in order to do that, to avoid the tircha de tzibur issue, but that is the suggestion. Rav Schechter paskins that you're not obligated to make up the missed parshios. It's considered virtuous to do so. You could do it either in one shot, you could do it incrementally by adding a second parsha each time, but whatever you do should be done with the reshus of the tzibur. That is Rav Schechter.
You said the whole tzibur. Is that unanimous or just a majority?
I would guess it's a majority, or maybe it's the ritual committee representation of the tzibur. I don't know if the entire tzibur of Klal Yisrael has ever agreed on anything. I don't think you've had a unanimous vote on, you know, the old joke about the rabbi in the hospital, that we took a vote 4-3 to wish you a refuah shleima. So, you know, I don't know that anything's ever been unanimous. I don't know. It's an interesting question. Not for now, mostly because I would need to research it. But when we talk about one of the requirements or criteria of a shliach tzibur to be merutza l'kahal, merutza l'kol l'kahal, let's say 99.9% of the tzibur, the shliach tzibur, that chazan is merutza. But there's one person that says, I don't like that guy. I heard who he's voting for, and I can't listen to him daven. I don't like the way he dresses, the yarmulke he wears. I don't like, he nicks the shidduch with my third cousin. So is that not called merutza l'kahal because there's one? So how do you define the tzibur, the kahal, for the din of a shliach tzibur, and for the rishus for tircha de tzibura? That is a good question, and it is beyond my knowledge at this time. It is a very good question. Let's see quickly what Mori V'Rabbi Rav Asher Weiss Shlita says about this question. B'davar she'elasa she'elas rabim Shabbos kodesh avodah netova parshas tazri mitzorah hayos varishios yitir lispal minyan merchav suchem. So they regrouped, they reconstituted in Vayikra for Tazri Metzora. So at Tazria Metzora, did they have to make up for all the parshas they had missed? L'anias daiti yesh l'hakel shalolikra klalas ha-parshas shifsidu, v'likra parshas Tazria Metzora bilvad. Rav Asher Weiss's opinion is to only read what you're up to when you regroup, but not obligated to go back, and not even virtuous to go back and to make up what you missed. V'zos mitreyut l'astame v'avar, for two or three reasons. Hilchazem makor b'ramah, the Ramah in Simen Kuf Lamed Hei writes the following: in Bitla Shabbos Achas Kriyas Parsha Bitzibur, the Shabbos Abba Kornos Parsha in Parsha Shayeches La'uso Shabbos. So the Ramah that we saw referenced says that if you missed Kriyas Torah, then the Tzibur has a responsibility the following week to read the Parsha that was missed and the Parsha of that week. Makor Alach Azuba Or Zaruah, V'kachi B'Shibolei HaLeket B'Sefer HaAguda. It finds its makor, its source among the Rishonim, or Zaru the Shibolei Leket, and the Aguda, all Rishonim. Ach b'divrei gedolei ha'achronim matzino b'zeh kama chidushim matiyos ve'avar. However, while that seems to be a cut and dry, it seems to be a very clear-cut halacha, based on these Rishonim and codified by the Ramah, the Achronim complicate it. And they complicate it in the following ways. Number one, b'tshuvas ma'ara mintz, huva magen avram, daig milashen sefer aguda. So the magen avram quotes the ma'ara mintz, who himself was exacting in the language of the Aguda. So he says that you don't read more than two. You only read the last parsha. So Rav Weiss's psak is not that in general you don't make up the previous week's parsha. It's a beferish Ramah. His psak was because the person who asked him in the week of a double parsha. In the week that you're already reading a double parsha, you don't additionally add the previous week's parsha. He, unlike Rav Schechter, says that there's an expiration date. If you haven't read the Parsha, either the week that it falls out or the following week, then then it's Balta Acher. You're too late. You don't make it up subsequent. So therefore, if it's a double parsha, you don't read the previous week. If it's not a double parsha, you do read the previous week. You only at most read the previous week and not more, because once you're past the week after that parsha, you are past the statute of limitation. And this seems to be the accepted psak, says Rav Asher, like the Magen Avram, quoting the Ma'ara Mintz, who's being medayik in the Aguda, that you only read a maximum of two parshios. You never read more than two parshios. And therefore, if it's a single parsha, you can make up the previous week. If they're catching up or you're opening the week of a double parsha, then you don't read the previous week. Number one. Number two, complication of the Achronim. B'shar Ephraim Kosov, de'ad kan lo amri shetzarech lahashlam, ela b'tzibur shespalu u'misiba koshi bitlu kriya satora. Aval matzibur klalus kam tzu yachtav, lo chal aleim chovas ha-kriya. Kevin shekriya satora chovas ha-tzibur, hivu lo chovas ha-yachid. Ve'ein chayavan lahashlam. Shai Ephraim is of the opinion that when is it that a tzibur has to make up a missed kriya satora? When the tzibur met, but they didn't read the Torah. Sometimes a tzibur could meet, but for whatever reason, there was no Torah.
Backyard minion.
The Torah was pasul, a backyard minion. The tzibur met, but there was no Torah. That's when they have to make it up. But if the tzibur never met, then there's no chova at all on the tzibur. So in other words, if there was a constitution of a tzibur, but for whatever reason the tzibur didn't read the Torah, they have to make up the Torah. But if ba'onas, there was no tzibur bechlal, there's no chovas at tzibur. And therefore there's nothing to have a tashlumen on. Menira pasha lefidvarav devenido nidan ein din ashlama. The whole notion of tashlumen assumes that there was an obligation. However, you couldn't fulfill the obligation, so there's a tashlumen, you make up for the missed obligation. But if there was no obligation, then there's nothing to make up for. So when the tzibur met, but they couldn't read the Torah, so then they have to make up for the Torah they couldn't read. But if the tzibur didn't even meet, because shuls were closed down, there weren't even backyard or front yard or driveway or anywhere minyanim or porch minyanim, then there's nothing to make up. Third, tshuva shvus yankif. Nishal adei beis kenes shal espalu ba kol shabbos. V'harbe shabasos l'hiskayim b'tfilos. In tzorch l'ashlam is a parshas. Because of the law, mishu tzorch l'ashlam alam bidlu pamachas. V'ol im minhagim levatam idei pam ein mashlimin, tim kein yivuto al minhagim shi yisro l'kros b'shabas, rak aseram yuchad lehem al pi takanas chazal. You have some shuls which are seasonal. You have shuls in the Hamptons and upstate New York. You have shuls in vacation, resort destinations. You have shuls in Pesach programs. You have shuls that don't read Torah every week because they don't even meet every week that's a shul. Shul sometimes is open as a museum or a tourist destination, and other times it functions as a shul. So in such a case, so there was asked of the Shvus Yaakov, when they reopened, did they have to read the parshios they missed? Is the chova on that shul? He says no. Because if all of a sudden every shul, based on the schedule of when they're open, is going to have different cycles of reading, then you have entirely interrupted, distorted, the whole cycle of Torah reading. Which he said prophetically, they did. So Rav Asher says that while we remain part of this pandemic, where in Eretz Yisrael just now they had a lockdown, and parts of New York there are shuls still locked down, red zones. So it's open, it's closed. It's open, it's closed. So therefore, maybe it has the status of what the Shvus Yaakov talked about, which is a shul that's not permanently open, but a shul that's open and closed and open and closed, which entirely is exempt from the responsibility to make up for Torah reading when it's missed. Dalet, fourthly, Kvar od kasav ashar Ephraim. A fourth possibility is in Eretz Yisrael, even during a lockdown, they allowed minyanim at a distance. We didn't have it here with Kriyas HaTorah, at least in Boca, at least on Matoya Circle, but you had minyanim on a merpeset, minyanim in courtyards, where there was a Torah and Kriyas HaTorah. So when the shul came back together, it includes people who didn't miss any Kriyas HaTorah. That too may be a source of an exemption from having to read. So if davar yesh b'shel hazu kam v'kam etzdodim l'haka v'ein lomar v'chima hifsed yesh nikra od parsha Torah. So says Rav Asher, if you add up all these reasons he said, number one, when you reconstitute the week of a double parsha, you don't add, because the most you could read is two parshios. Number two, you only need to make up a parsha if the tzibur met, but didn't have Kriyas HaTorah. If they didn't meet at all, then there was no chova for to do a tashlum and on. Number three, the Shvus Yaakov, you only have to make up if it's a shul that meets every week. If it's a shul that only meets periodically, and maybe in the period of Corona, all of our shuls have the status of meeting periodically. And number four was the Shari Ephraim, that maybe some people heard the Kriyas HaTorah elsewhere. If you add up all four of those reasons, even though from the Ramah it sounded like it's clear you have to read the previous week's parsha, he says, be makel and don't. Aye, so you'll say, what do you lose by adding another parsha? Dim lefi halacha minag in tzarech tashlum and pashut diyesh bezet tzad hefsed sheshloshes ha'olam harishonim yivarcho akriya shelo bezman av makoma ve'efshar davi bracha levatola shekarim parsha in tzarech lekrosa v'havalei kikora parsha ba'alma mevarcha lev tzarech iyim. Says Rav Asher, it's a shayla of a bracha levatola. First of all, you see how two gaonim, two gedola Yisrael, two extraordinary Talmidei Chachamim and world-class poskim approach the same Shaila in real time as contemporaries and as good friends and come to very different conclusions. Rav Shechter comes to the conclusion that not only can you, but there's a virtue in making up the parshios, and not only can you make up the previous week, if you choose to, you can read all the parshios together, and if you choose to, you can add them back incrementally over time. And Rav Asher says, for four reasons, you don't have to, and not only do you not have to, maybe you shouldn't. Because if you do, there could be a shayla of a bracha levatala. Mushum kenir lefi daniyaz daiti shkolach yashlim parshiyos v'shtay mikra v'chatargim v'lo yikru b'tora ela parshos tazirim mitzora bevad. For that week, just read the double parsha that tzibur was up to. And if you're worried about having missed those other parshiyos, we sort of noibur or paskin, when you miss a parsha, you can read a shnay mikra v'chatargim, which we have an obligation to do anyway, to be mar besedra. V'shemati b'shem echa like dolam sh'omer tam sh'lo likro kriyas tashlum benidon didon. The rak betzibur shemuchu yulukar betorah mishum kosibur shibitlas akriya tzrichim lahashlem. Masha enkein benidon didon. The machmas tchshas sakana peturim akriya satorah became shpeturim him enkan tashlumen. The only time that you have a chiyuv tashlumen is if you had a chiyuv. But if you were never mechuyuv, there's nothing to be mashlem. When do you have to make something up? Something you were obligated. If you were never obligated, you don't have to make it up. Over here, it was a sakana to meet as a minion and have kriya satorah. was to be lenient on pikuach nefesh. That would have been wrong. Therefore, you were altogether exempt. It was hutra, not dechuya. So there's no tashlumen. V'shosh ha'svar yesh l'makam. And Rav Asher White says, I hear that svara. Da'achin yesh poskim shedimu tashlum shakir esator l'din tashlum b'tfila. Because there are poskim who draw an analogy and a parallel. We know the halacha is that if you miss shacharis for whatever reason, you daven mincha. You miss mincha, you daven marav. You miss marav, you daven shacharis. If you miss one tfila, you make it up at the next. Now, when do you make it up? Only if it was b'shogig. If it was b'mezid, you don't make it up. U'v'tashlumi tfila mavur lahed mishnabura. He says he doesn't like it. Let me just tell you a little lumdus before we get to the reason Rav Asher Weiss rejects it. There's a very interesting machlokas rishonim and poskim. The question of an ovel. An onain is forbidden from davening. An onain. If a person loses one of their seven immediate loved ones, relatives, an onain is not only potter, they're osir. It's machlokas. But we paskin an onain is not only potter, they're osir from davening. They don't make brachos. They don't daven. Mishemesa mutal lefanav. The Gemara in Moed Katan, the Mishnah in Moed Katan, and Rashi, Tosfos there. Why? Tosfos seems to give the reason, because Hashem understands he took someone so irreplaceable, someone you love, he doesn't expect you to have time or attention on him. All of your time and attention should be focused on preparing to grieve for the loss of the loved one. So you're not only exempt, which is one opinion, but we paskin, you are forbidden. And Onan can't decide, you know what, I love Hashem so much, I can't help it, I have to bench, I have to make brachas, I have to daven. They don't put on tefillin and they don't daven. Interestingly, you have to wash, but you don't make a hamotzi. You should hear Avdallah, but you can't make Avdallah. There are certain rules that regulate it, but you don't do positive mitzvahs. The Onan can't violate negative mitzvahs. I always tell an Onan, you can't have a cheeseburger, you just don't make a bracha or bench on the sandwich, the kosher sandwich that you do eat. So an Onan is exempt. When the aninus ends, should the onen do tashlumen? So let's say the onen finds out their loved one died in the morning before shacharis, and they miss shacharis making all the preparations, and the funeral happened, and it's still zman mincha. So the onen now is not an onen; they're an avel, and the avel is going to daven mincha. Does the avel who davens mincha, should they daven mincha twice to make up the shacharis that they missed as an onen? So it will all depend on what was the nature of missing davening as an onen. Is that a din in osig b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah? How do you understand the concept of osig b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah? That when you're occupied with one mitzvah, you're exempt from other mitzvahs. Is that a din in hutra or dechuya? Is it that when I'm occupied with one mitzvah, I remain obligated in other mitzvahs, but the Torah lets me off the hook because I'm only a human being. I can't do two things at once. So whatever I'm occupied in, that's the primary responsibility. And though I remain obligated in all other mitzvahs, there's nothing I can do, I can't keep it. Or do you say no? While I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm not even obligated in any other mitzvahs. So what's the halacha? What's the halacha? So that's a machlokas. Oseg b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. When I'm doing one mitzvah, I'm exempt from other mitzvahs. What's the nature of that exemption? Am I exempt altogether? As if it doesn't exist, there's no obligation. Or am I exempt that I can't do both? Because I'm only human, but I remain obligated. What would be a nafkamina, how you understand whether oseg b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah, assuming that's the rule of aninus, that the reason an onein doesn't daven or do mitzvahs is because they're oseg in the mitzvah of preparing to bury their loved one. What's the nafkamina? What's the practical difference? Whether it is a full-fledged exemption such that you're not even obligated, or you're obligated but you're exempt. The nafkamina is, would you have to daven tashlumen? When the onen becomes the avel after the funeral, at the next tefillah, do they have to daven twice to make up the one they missed? We paskin no. We paskin they don't make it up. It's not a din of tashlumen. Anyway, coming back. So Rav Asher is quoting Echad HaGedolim, who said that the nature of Kriyas Tashlumen, the idea of making up a missed parsha, follows the same rule of making up a missed tefillah. It's a logical, somewhat persuasive argument. I'll give you another example of a parallel in that argument. Let's say you missed, you were an ones. Chas v'shalom, a person had the flu. They were knocked out, or they had worse, the big C. They had corona, and they were knocked out. So they missed Shachar's Mincha Marav, Shachar's Mincha Marav, and the first time they had the strength and they came to, do they daven the previous Shachar's Mincha and Marav? Do they daven the last 10 days of davenings they missed? No, the halacha is you can only make up for the immediate last davening you missed. So even if you missed Marav, Shachar's Mincha, at the next Marav, you only make up the Mincha that you missed. So that's another example of the parallel here between the two, because we saw that you only make up the previous parsha and not more than that. In any case, Rav Asher Weiss does not like that analysis. He rejects it. And he rejects it for the following reason. Number one, Ein nidon didan doma la'onin klal. The chachamim patur asa'onin min ha-mitzos. Ma she'en ke minyo didan, she'en kam patur klal. El ha-geder onis b'shul chashash pikuach nefesh, v'chol ikar halacha zutir al-tashlum b'kriyas ha-torah, nitna b'makam onis. An onin is exempt. This is not an exemption. This is pikuach nefesh. Essentially, what he's saying is, one is hutra and the other is dechuya. And therefore, you can't create a parallel between the two and extrapolate or learn one like the other. And number two, b'makor halachazu shebor zarua ein nirush halachazu gadra tashlumin ala ikar takanas akriya is lahashlam as the Torah achas l'shana v'im lokaru shabbos achas karm shabbos haba ulufiza ein hevda klal b'siba lama lokaru im mishum pikuach nefesh or shar ones. And another reason not to make that comparison is you can't compare it to the nature of mitzvos. A mitzvah, you have responsibility and obligation each and every day. Shacharis mincha marav, or whatever mitzvah that one has that day. Kriyas HaTorah is very different. The Gemara quotes a machlokas, in fact, the cycle of reading Torah. We, universally today, are all familiar with an annual cycle of reading Torah. We complete the entire Kriyas HaTorah every year. Simchas Torah. However, the Gemara has another opinion, which today is observed, I believe, by the conservative, maybe the reform movement, who follow the triannual cycle. They divide in three, and they only finish all of Torah every third year. They don't read the whole Torah every year. They only read a third of the Torah every year, and they complete the whole Torah reading only on a three-year cycle. The very fact that you had that machlokas about what is the cycle and the format for reading Torah tells you that there's certain flexibility. Meaning, Moshe and Ezra established that we have to read the Torah. Midrabanan, we read, we learn publicly, we recreate Maimed HaSinai, we read the Torah together. But on what cycle and what schedule? That is a machlokas that tells you there's some flexibility. So therefore, when you're exempt within the cycle that we adopted, is a very different exemption than when you're exempt from a mitzvah as an onain that you're obligated each and every day. So for those two reasons, Rav Asher Weiss disagrees and doesn't like that analysis, and ultimately concludes very different than Rav Schechter, that not only do you not need to make up the Torah that you missed, but maybe you shouldn't, because there is the potential that it will be a bracha levatala. Okay, so we saw that Kriyas HaTorah is a chovas hatzibur. Kriyas HaTorah is an obligation on the community, not the individual. And there are lots of nafkaminas, a lot of practical differences between that. We then talked about the format and the structure of Kriyas HaTorah. That really originally, each person read the Torah, recited a bracha before and after. One person would read the whole parsha, recite the bracha once before and after. Then we divided it and we established a Baal Koreh. Tosfos gave us the reason why in Bab Basra. Because Tosfos said, so as not to embarrass a person who doesn't know how to read. And therefore we created the institution of the Baal Koreh. The Baal Koreh prepares and knows how. And then you call the Olim, who each get the Aliyah, and they don't have to worry they're going to be ashamed or embarrassed because they're not expected to read from the Torah. Where do we see a precedent to this idea? Mikra Bikurim. We see it with Mikra Bikurim that the farmer is not expected to read the Mikra Bikurim. It was read on their behalf. And then farmers wouldn't hesitate and wouldn't be ashamed to come because it was done on their behalf through agency. Same thing with Kriyas HaTorah. The Ola makes the bracha before and after. The Baal Koreh is reading the Torah as far as out loud for the Tzibur and the Chovas HaTzibur. And the person who gets the Aliyah says it quietly to themselves. They can't not say it because it will be a bracha levatala. They have to read the Torah together with the Baal Koreh. They shouldn't read it loud enough. It will disturb the Baal Koreh. But they should read it together with the Baal Koreh. We saw that in Siman Kuf Mem Aleph, Siv Beis. La Yikru Shnayim Ala Ha'ula Koreh Shlech Tzibur Shosek O Shlech Tzibur Kerem Ba'ol Yikra. Tzarech likros im hashlech tzibik kedei tei berchasa levatala, shlo tei berchasa levatala, ela tzarech likros benachash lo yashmil la'oznav. He shouldn't disturb the Baal Koreh, it shouldn't be too loud. And here the Mishnah Berurah added, uchemin hagenu achshav shlo olam hashlech tzibur koreh afilik sh'ola hu baki. Today, the shlech tzibur, even if the ola is a baki, what happens when a Baal Koreh gets an aliyah? A shul that's very blessed may have many Baalei Kriya. So let's say there's one Baal Koreh reading, but there's another Baal Koreh who gets the Aliyah. They have Yahrzeit that week, or they have a kibbud for whatever reason. And they say, I want to read my own Aliyah. We say, no. You may be the most qualified Baal Koreh in the shul. Still, nevertheless, you can't read your own aliyah. Why? Kedish l'advayis mishayna yodelikros. The whole institution of the Baal Koreh was, because what happens if the third aliyah and the sixth aliyah, and the next week the fifth aliyah, each time a Baal Koreh gets an aliyah, they read their own aliyah. What is everyone going to know about the rest of the people who get aliyahs that week? That they're a bunch of ignoramuses. That they don't know how to read their own aliyah. And the whole reason we instituted Baal Koreh is to protect and preserve the dignity, to save the embarrassment and the shame of a person who doesn't know how to read. And therefore, the Mishneh Berurah paskins that even someone who's qualified and knows how to read should not read their own aliyah. Moreover, you have a very practical problem, which is many people will tell you they know how to read and ask to read their own aliyah, and it turns out they don't know how to, and now they have butchered the Kriyas Torah for that entire tzibur who want to hear. Now, what's interesting is in source number 10, there was an article, there's a journal that used to, it was founded and edited by my great uncle, Macy Nolman, called the Journal of Jewish Music and Liturgy. And I don't believe it has outlasted him. Unfortunately, he passed away. And I don't believe it continues to be published. But it was not a well-known journal, the Journal of Jewish Music and Liturgy. It has very interesting articles in it. And Rav Schechter, many years ago, published an article called Lesser Known Laws of Torah Reading. And in a footnote in that article, he says the following. Rabbi Soloveitchik was opposed to the common practice of having a bar mitzvah boy read the entire sedra, including his own aliyah. He felt this constituted a violation of the minhag not to allow anyone to lay in his own aliyah. So he was against the idea the bar mitzvah boy would read the whole parsha, which in more yeshivish circles, I believe the bar mitzvah boy does not read his own parsha. They feel the year is better spent with his learning than learning a trait that he likely will not reuse in the future. But aside from that observation or question of whether that is good or bad, but he was against the bar mitzvah boy getting his own aliyah. It goes against this minhag, that a person is not supposed to lay in their own aliyah. In other words, what happens? The bar mitzvah boy's father and grandfathers and brothers and uncles all got aliyahs, spaced out, you can't get back to back, because of Ayin Hara, it's a din of Shulchan Aruch, although not one we're following during Corona right now. And so what's going to happen? The bar mitzvah boy lays his own aliyah. His father and grandfathers and brothers did not. It's going to look like they don't know what they're doing, and only he does. That was the whole reason we instituted the Baal Koreh. So Rabbi Soloveitchik took this so far that he opposed even a bar mitzvah by reading their own aliyah. From the Ramot HaRachaim, this would not seem to be minhag in his times. In Evan Ezra, a similar minhag is recorded not to allow any chassan to recite Birchas Eirsin for himself in order not to embarrass the chassanim who will not be able to recite the brachas on their own. I mentioned this last week. We have Machlokas Rambam Rosh. Is Birchas Eirsin a Birchas HaMitzvah or Birchas HaShevach? So according to the Rambam, it's a Birchas HaMitzvah. The chassan is about to engage in a mitzvah. For the Rosh, it's only a Hechsher mitzvah. Getting married is a Hechsher mitzvah to Peru Revu, to having children. But there's no mitzvah proper to get married. The Rambam disagrees. And the Rambam says getting married is a mitzvah. If it's a mitzvah, why don't you make a bracha? I make a bracha when I shake the lulav, when I put on tefillin, when I hear the shofar. I make a bracha when I light the candles. I make a bracha on every mitzvah. So why isn't the chassan making a bracha on the mitzvah of getting married? So the Rambam says, similar to Mikra Bikurim, so as not to embarrass the chassan who won't be able to recite the Birchas HaIrisin properly, and therefore, it was established to have a Mesader Kedushin who makes the bracha on behalf of the chassan. This is, by the way, one of the nafkaminas between the Rambam and the Rosh, who gets the kibud of choosing the Mesader Kedushin? The chassan's family or the kala side? If it's a mitzvah, and it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, and it's being recited as a shliach, as an agent on behalf of the chassan, then the chassan and his side should get to choose the Mesader Kedushin. If it's a Birchas HaShevach, if it's those who are gathered or reciting a bracha, observing a new Jewish couple and a new Jewish home being formed, they're saying a Birchas HaShevach, like we say a Birchas HaShevach on thunder and lightning. We say a Birchas HaShevach on the wonders of the universe. You say a Birchas HaShevach on the wonder of a new couple being formed. So who's the one, at least then, who paid for the guests at the wedding? The Kala's family. She gets to choose the Mesader Kedushin. We paskin the man side. So, or in most cases at least, it seems the chassan side chooses the Mesader Kedushin. In any case, the Mesader Kedushin is saying the Birchas Eirusin on behalf of the chassan, so as not to embarrass the chassan. What if the Mesader Kedushin, the Rav, is single? When he gets married, can he say his own Birchas Eirusin? Can a single Rav be the Mesader Kedushin at his own wedding? So Rav Schechter points out the poskim allow him to say Birchas Eirusin for himself. So why? Aren't we worried we're going to be Mevayesh those who don't know how to make the Birchas Eirusin and need another Mesader Kedushin? Situation of the Baal Koreh taking an aliyah, reading for himself, seems parallel to the rabbi reciting Birchas Eirusin at his own wedding. So that's Rav Schechter disagrees with his Rav, with the Rav, and says that maybe the bar mitzvah boy taking his own aliyah should be similar to the rabbi reciting the Birchas Erusin for himself. I don't know. I don't know if you can make an exact comparison. Why? Because in the case of the Rav, the single Rav, acting as his own Masada Kedushin, there's no other chassan at the same wedding. There's not other chassanim under the same chuppah. So that the other chassanim needed a Masada Kedushin. And he, the chassan, was his own Masada Kedushin. But the bar mitzvah boy, or anyone getting their own, reading their own aliyah, has the issue of all the other olim looking like they didn't know how to read their own aliyah. So I'm not sure it's an exact comparison, or that's a fair conclusion.
Although, can I ask a question?
Of course.
On the Soloveitchik's psak.
Yes.
You said a minute ago, you have two Balei Kriya, Reuven and Shimon. This week, Reuven is the Baal Kairi. So he's the Baal Kairi, Shimon can't lay his own aliyah for that reason.
Right.
But Reuven has to lay for him. Now we have a Bar Mitzvah boy. He's Reuven. He's laying the whole parsha. Why can't he lay his own?
I didn't follow that question.
The question is, now, this week, this Bar Mitzvah boy is the Baal Kairi.
Right.
So he should lay his own, just like every Baal Kairi who's a Baal Kairi that week lays his own. The other person, if he gets an aliyah that week, he does lay his own.
No, so Rabbi Soloveitchik would go so far as to say the Baal Kairi shouldn't get an aliyah, because then they're laying their own aliyah, and you'll have a problem. Because
it's not backed by Bar Mitzvah boy.
Correct. In other words, the institution of Baal Kairi was so strong, at least the way the Rav understood it, that the Baal Kairi should never get an aliyah, or the one getting the aliyah should never be reading the Torah.
Okay.
Ad kedei kach. Again, I don't think that's the minhag to follow that. Certainly there are bar mitzvahs all over the planet where the bar mitzvah boy reads his own aliyah. Maybe, again, you're not going to embarrass others because the bar mitzvah boy usually gets the last aliyah. So there are no others after him who would be embarrassed. So maybe that's part of the reason that we aren't worried about that factor. But this does come up, by the way, because I've been at minyanim. Comes up sometimes when you daven in a Sephardi minyan more than an Ashkenazi minyan. But I've been at minyanim where someone gets their own aliyah and they say, I want to lane it. You know when this comes up a lot? Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah, where you break out into Kriyas HaTorah all over in a normal year. We didn't get to do that this year. So very often there's a Baal Kairi flying through over and over and over and over again in Vezos HaBracha. And sometimes a person will get up there who says, listen, I know I'm going to read my own aliyah. According to the Mishnah Berura and according to what we saw, that would be a problem. The institution of Baal Kairi was done to save the embarrassment of those who don't know, to the point that the person getting the aliyah should not. So you have to say to someone, what do you prefer? You can lane or you can get the aliyah, but you can't get both. Maybe with the bar mitzvah boy as being the exception. Maybe. Okay.
The paragraph you skipped on the side,
yeah,
seems to resolve the problem.
Regarding Tochacha, the Magen Avraham, that the Baal Kairi is not called up by name since he's standing there already. According to this custom of the Ramah, when Bar Mitzvah boy is reading the Seder in his honor with Maftir, he's not called up by name, but merely recites the Bracha over his Aliyah. Yeah, that's Rav Shechter's suggestion. Just like that, Magen Avraham has a Minog that you give to Tochacha, to the Baal Kairi, or to the Rabbi. No one wants to get the Tochacha. Nobody wants the Tochacha. You all know the joke? You can't make a living off one Tochacha? There's a whole story, the joke. It's a good story. So nobody wants the Tochacha because you're afraid that lightning is going to strike. So who do you give it to? The Baal Kairi anyway is reading, so just give him the Aliyah. So the Ramah says the Baal Kairi is not called up by name. Yamod Revi, you just let him read. You just let him start that Aliyah. You don't even call him up. So that way, you don't bring on whatever negative possibility of their reading. So maybe you could do the same thing if you're fear that with the Baal Kairi, so let the Bar Mitzvah boy just read the Maftir without being called up for the Maftir, and that way you avoid whatever potential problem. That is his suggestion.
It's all the singing.
Yeah, I was about to say, but what happens when you bring in the choir and the three chazanim and the three cantors and they composed an original tune to call it the Bar Mitzvah boy? So this would undermine that, and what the Bar Mitzvah boy by his mother wants supersedes this minhag. So it seems to be the minhag that Bar Mitzvah boys do read their own aliyah and do get called up. Which leads us to the last area I wanted to address, but we're not going to get to today. I see we're almost out of time. We'll just begin. Which is the question of, when do you correct the Baal Kairi? Not only Bar Mitzvah boys. There are Bar Mitzvah boys that are in therapy deep into their 40s, 50s, and 60s because of the fire they took from the Tzibur, who absolutely pummeled them. You have a young, insecure Bar Mitzvah boy who had the courage to put himself out there, who practiced, did the best he could to memorize when memory doesn't come easily, memorizing doesn't come easily. And the first mistake he gets, he takes gunfire from all over the whole shul. The men, the Ezra's Nashim, the young, they're old, they're not throwing candies, they're throwing bullets, correcting him. Boy, can that be traumatizing. So what is the halacha of what needs to be corrected? What needs to be corrected? Who should do the correcting? And how far do you go in the correcting? How far do you have to go back to correct the correction? That is the last area I wanted to discuss. And then we're going to move over to standing for Kriyas HaTorah. Where did the minhag come from to stand for Kriyas HaTorah? Is that a minhag? Is it a halacha? Where does it come from? Can you stand in a shul where everybody sits? Where does it come from, the idea of standing for Kriyas HaTorah? And then maybe we'll see also Rabbi Soloveitchik's insight about Kriyas HaTorah and the idea of the Gabayim on either side, the Bakori, the Ola, the whole notion of standing on a bima, that Kriyas HaTorah is a recreation of Har Sinai, of Matan Torah, which really works very well into the notion of being a Chovas HaTzibur. Right? The Shnayim Mikra, the Torah learning that I do on my own, that's Talmud Torah. But Kriyas HaTorah, the Chovas HaTzibur, that's not Talmud Torah learning Torah, that's Matan Torah. I'm back at Har Sinai. So these are some of the little preview of the things that we're going to see over the next few weeks that we continue along the lines of these topics. Thank you for joining us, and stay tuned for the next shiur in just a few minutes from now.